The scripture reading for today is taken from Exodus chapter 4, verse 29 to chapter 5, verse 23. Exodus chapter 4, verse 29. Then Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the people of Israel. Aaron spoke all the words that the Lord had spoken to Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the people of Israel and that he had seen their affliction, they bowed their heads and worshipped. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went and said to Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." But Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and moreover, I will not let Israel go." Then they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword." But the king of Egypt said to them, "Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people away from their work? Get back to your burdens." And Pharaoh said, "Behold, the people of the land are now many, and you make them rest from their burdens." The same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their foremen, "You shall no longer give the people straw to make bricks, as in the past. Let them go and gather straws for themselves. But the number of bricks that they made in the past, you shall impose on them. You shall by no means reduce it, for they are idle." Therefore they cry, "Let us go and offer sacrifice to our God. Let heavier work be laid on the men, that they may labor at it and pay no regard to their lying words." So the taskmasters and the foremen of the people went out and said to the people, "Thus says Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go and get your straw yourselves, wherever you can find it. But your work will not be reduced in the least." So the people were scattered throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble for straw. The taskmasters were urgent, saying, "Complete your work, your daily task each day, as when there was straw." And the foremen of the people of Israel, whom Pharaoh's taskmaster had set over them, were beaten and were asked, "Why have you not done all your tasks of making bricks today and yesterday, as in the past?" Then the foremen of the people of Israel came and cried to Pharaoh, "Why do you treat your servants like this? No straw is given to your servants, yet they say to us, 'Make bricks.' And behold, your servants are beaten, but the fault is in your own people." But he said, "You are idle. You are idle. That is why you say, 'Let us go and sacrifice to the Lord.' Go now and work. No straw will be given to you, but you must still deliver the same number of bricks." The foremen of the people of Israel saw that they were in trouble when they said, "You shall by no means reduce your number of bricks, your daily task each day." They met Moses and Aaron, who were waiting for them as they came out from Pharaoh. And they said to them, "The Lord look on you and judge, because you have made us stink in the sight of Pharaoh and his servants, and have put a sword in their hand to kill us." Then Moses turned to the Lord and said, "O Lord, why have you done evil to this people? Why do you ever send me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people, and you have not delivered your people at all." This is the word of the Lord. Good morning, Ang Mo Kio Presbyterian Church. A very warm welcome to AMKPC, especially if this is your first time joining us. Perhaps you were invited by a friend, a family member, or even got to know us about our church service from Alpha. I would like to extend a very warm welcome for you to be joining us today. For the past 2 weeks, our church has embarked on a series from the book of Exodus. Last year, we took a few months to pen through the book of Genesis, which is the first book in the Bible. And for the next few weeks, we will be exploring the book of Exodus and to hear what God might have to say for us as His people. As I understand, next week, our church will be launching our very own in-house Bible study material on Exodus. And I really look forward to the sessions with my cell group as we discuss and reflect on God's Word. Last week, Reverend Srimal introduced the name of the most important character in the book of Exodus. In English, it simply means, I am. And Reverend Srimal exhorted us to consider the great I am, who called us to serve and follow Him. But we all have our own reservations, don't we? Like Moses, some of us might be worried about our past, our age, our skills, and even our time. And we go to God saying, who am I? Who am I to lead your people? But like what Reverend Srimal reminded us, it doesn't matter who you are. God doesn't look at your qualifications, your abilities, and your limitations. God gives of you Himself. He promises His presence with you, and those were not just empty words that God said. And from today's message, we will see how God was actually present with Moses and the people of Israel. To best understand how it was like for the people of Israel and even Moses, I thought I'd like to invite Moses himself to come and share with us how it was like to answer the call from the great I am and hear about his ministry experience in Egypt. So to share with us this morning is none other than Moses. Moses is married to his lovely wife, a Midian wife of the name Zipporah, who is the daughter of Jethro, if you remember. So without further ado, our forefather, the spokesman of God, Moses. Good morning, everyone. My name is Moses. And it's a pleasure to be invited by Pastor Wen Chong to speak to all of you this Sunday. Before I share, may I open our time with a word of prayer. O Lord, God Almighty, uncreated and Holy One, you fulfilled your promise when you said that you will be with me by giving me the words to say to Pharaoh. And I ask that you do so again today. May your Spirit bring to light the word you have for your people. Amen. Good morning, Ang Mo Kio Presbyterian Church. So much has happened since I last came to earth. Apparently, I'm being recorded by this device that you call a camera. And though I'm speaking to you in one location, many of you will be hearing God's word from all the different locations at your own venue. Wow! I heard that a pestilence by the name of COVID-19 has plagued all the lands of the earth. And it has caused God's people to be meeting by this means that Pastor Wen Chong tells me is called as online. And I thought my troubles were great. But I hope that as I share with you this morning about my struggles, you might find the insights to deal with yours. So let me share three very real challenges that I face in my life and in my ministry. And hopefully, later when Pastor Wen Chong wraps up today's sermon, He will help you to see how all that I have shared that can be relevant to you in your life and your ministry. Number one, Pharaoh. Do you know what Pharaoh stands for? The words literally mean big house, and they actually represent the office in which the king resides in. But I think through time, people are so used to calling the king as his office, they just refer to the king of Egypt as Pharaoh. So anyway, you guys heard about my past, right? I used to be residing with Pharaoh, and I once stayed in that big house as I was the adopted grandson of the king of Egypt. Yeah, this same king, remember, he was the one who ordered all the firstborn of Israel to be thrown into River Nile. But instead of that life, I was now living the dream life with my fellow, while my fellow Israelite brothers and sisters were slaving to build the store cities of Egypt. I was enjoying the luxury of fine linen cloth, expensive food like meat and wine. And I was brought up in the house that was filled with jewelry, so much jewelry that was made of precious gold and silver. But something within me didn't feel quite right to enjoy this frivolous lifestyle as I heard the cries of the Israelites day in and day out. That built up frustration within me led me to murder one of the Egyptian taskmasters that treated an Israelite poorly. In fear, I fled to the wilderness and became a national fugitive of Egypt and a despised shepherd in the land of Midian. 40 years later, Adonai, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, called me to go back to Egypt with the impossible task of freeing his people. The God that no one has seen or heard for the past 400 years suddenly appeared to me as I conversed with a burning bush. He called me, a shepherd, the lowliest of persons, to speak to the mightiest man in the ancient world. After a very long conversation with God, he insisted that I was the one to go before Pharaoh. I tried to give God reasons, or some of you would say excuses, to not go on this crazy mission. But God was relentless. And despite my many attempts to dissuade him from sending me, I reluctantly answered his call to be the Messiah of Israel. Standing in this once familiar place of Pharaoh's court, Aaron and I, with our fingers crossed, proclaim these words. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast for me in the wilderness. You see, I knew my odds were low. I knew that no king in his right mind would release a labor force for free. But I had to convince myself that maybe God will honor my obedience and soften Pharaoh's heart to my request. Surely my effort will have to count for something, right? The next words of Pharaoh immediately put to rest all these speculations with his mocking voice. Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and moreover, I will not let Israel go. Oh, what a terrible beginning for my ministry. What a way to get off the wrong side of Pharaoh. From the tone of Pharaoh's voice, we could tell that he was not at all convinced by our proposal. So, we clarified with him and told him that the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Well, Pharaoh did ask a very good question. who is the Lord? And we thought that if we specify which God he was speaking to, he will perhaps understand that Adonai means business. On that same track, we gave him more details to our request to bring the people of Israel on a three-day journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God, and even told him that lest we fall, he falls upon us with pestilence or with the sword. Hopefully, with the consequence, Pharaoh might approve of our proposal. Instead, Pharaoh saw this as an excuse to get the people away from their work and even thought that we were just one of the slaves and commanded Aaron and I to get back to our burdens. Why didn't God bless my conversation with Pharaoh? I prayed very, very hard, you know. Well, at first, I prayed for God to send someone else. But eventually, I prayed that since I already went this far, I prayed for a successful mission. This was anything but successful. Didn't I already tell God that I cannot talk well, let alone speak before such a prominent figure? My failure caused the Israelites to suffer. And because of the conversation Aaron and I had with Pharaoh, he made life difficult by removing straw from the brick-making work. You see, straw was a very vital component in brick-making. By chopping up dried plants and mixing them into the mud, the straw helps to bind the brick well and helps with the drying process. But straw was hard to come by. Remember that we are living in Egypt, a highly arid land where plants don't grow in abundance. So the poor Israelites had to search high and low for straw just to make sure they can meet their daily brick quota. But isn't it true? Confrontations are always like that. Why? Why did I go and rock the boat? Why did I go and aggravate the most powerful man in Egypt? What have I done? Did I make the right decision to obey God? Should I have disobeyed God? Perhaps the Israelites would have been better off. I think somehow we all want to believe that when we choose to obey God, all things will go well, right? We have this unfounded expectation that if we honor God, things will be smooth. If I were to help God, God would surely have to help me. After knowing God all these years, I have come to learn that all things will indeed go well, the rough will be smooth, and when God says he will help, he means he will help. But just perhaps not in the way that we had imagined. Let me move on to my second challenge that I face in my ministry, the Israelites. When Aaron and I went before the Israelites to perform the wonders and convey the words Adonai had for them, the people believed. They even bowed down and worshipped the Lord. Wow, it was a night to remember. Then how come I forgot about it so quickly and only told you about my failures? I'm sure you understand how it is that we so quickly forget what our good God has done, right? And we zoom in on the failures, the hurts, and the sufferings. Maybe later I'll come back to this, but let me continue to share with you my challenge with the Israelites. Yes, the Israelites did believe and they did worship the Lord, but it was short-lived. Their belief in God's redemption was quickly quenched when Pharaoh made their lives impossible by denying them straw for their brick. Pharaoh's plan to cause contention within Aaron and I worked. Because of the very pain that the Israelites were going through, they did not dare to hope. They did not go to God, and they did not believe anymore. The harsh reality of life overwhelmed their belief in God's salvation plan. And to make matters worse, the Israelites blamed me for their suffering and even gave me a nasty remark about the Lord judging me, as I have made them stink in the sight of Pharaoh. I was facing rejection and opposition from every front. The mocking voice of Pharaoh haunting me on my left and the accusative one of Israel on my right. So, I turned to the only direction I have left and I turned back to the Lord and questioned him as to why he chose me. Which brings me to my third challenge that I'd like to share with you. I doubted God and myself. This is very important. Many times when the situation around us do not go our way, or when we are facing hurt and rejection, the first person that we often start to blame is God. Questioning about why a good God will allow bad things to happen. In our pain and our hurt, we have this natural tendency to look to God and question his will. For me, I blamed God for bringing evil into the lives of the Israelites, and I reiterated my displeasure about his poor choice of a savior. Well, I wish I could tell you that I asked for strength to carry on. But in a moment of anger and exasperation, I simply cannot see how he has delivered his people at all. So even when it was rightfully Pharaoh who caused the Israelites' misery, I still blame God for all that's happened. Before I hand the time to Pastor Wen Chong to share with you some applications for this morning's message, I would like to ask if any of you can understand the struggles that I faced. Perhaps you also face an outright rejection when you plucked up the courage to share God's saving plan with someone who does not know the Lord. Perhaps some of you are currently feeling like slaves at your work, barely making ends meet for your survival. Last but not least, are you looking at your own flaws and weaknesses, your own limitations of age and time, and deciding for God that you are not suitable for what he wants of you? May I offer some perspective that I did not quite consider in amidst my trouble and disappointment? In fact, I think it was that hurt and disappointment that masked me from realizing God's provision. Let me convince you that even I, the so-called great Moses, was blindsided to omit what God has done in my own writing. In my record of Exodus chapter 5, we use this ancient literary structure called chiasm. It's actually quite simple. We will use words or phrases to bookend our key focus in the passage. So for instance, in point A, the phrase went to Pharaoh is repeated again in the final sentence of the passage in A prime. So if you were to look at point E, this is the main point of the passage. The fact that the taskmasters were persecuting the Israelites. Do you see what I mean? In my sour relationship with God, I forgot to put God in the center of my writing and have allowed the difficulties and woes of this world to overwhelm me. Not only that, notice in A prime, I omitted the fact that Aaron was with me. I conveniently forgot that God had provided me a helper to fulfill God's tasks. Lastly, and this took me a while, but I finally realized the symbolism of God calling me to ministry with the image of the burning bush. I believe this famous symbol is used by many of God's people to remember that we can be burning but not consumed. Fire is that which purifies and able to cause a lot of hurt. But that same fire signifies God's presence with us in the trials. God not once, not even once, promised me an easy ministry. But he promised himself as I serve him. And by himself, he promised to bring his people out. I hope my sharing today has painted a realistic picture of what it looks like to follow God and to answer the call to ministry. Perhaps now will be a good time to get Pastor Wen Chong back to show you your Pharaohs, your Israelites, and how you can respond to God today. Thank you, Father Moses, a very humble man that gave us very thought-provoking reflections of God and ministry. Allow me to bring us back to the year 2020 as we explore what all these can mean to us today. In case you were so captivated by Moses' story and didn't quite catch his three very real challenges he faced after taking the step of faith to serve God, it is, number one, it was Pharaoh. Number two, the very people of God, the Israelites. And lastly, his doubt of God and himself. I think it is not too far-fetched to liken Pharaoh to the external oppositions that we face for being Christian. And I would like to acknowledge that this comparison has its own limitations, and it is not a one-for-one. But it is the principle behind Moses' encounter with Pharaoh that we would like to draw from. Our Pharaohs can really be different for each one of us. For some, your Pharaoh can be your non-Christian parents who you know were opposed of your religious choice of wanting to be Christian. For some of you, you might be exactly like the Israelites. You too have a boss who insists you work on Sundays and find it quite annoying or counterproductive that you have to make time for church, cell group, and service. And like Pharaoh, he too determines your workload and can make life very miserable for you. Or perhaps for some of you, a non-Christian friend or loved one that told you many times not to preach to him or to her, but yet you are prompted to share Christ with him or her, but afraid to rock the boat and upset the status quo. Moses heard very clearly from the Lord what he had to proclaim, and he knew clear well to whom he must proclaim it. How about you? Have you heard from God what you are to do in your particular circumstance? However reluctant, Moses had a relationship with God. Do you have an open relationship with God that when he calls, you will know that it is of him? Or are you too overwhelmed by the fear and the disappointment that you have allowed that voice to dominate God's call for you? How about our Israelites? I think this can be likened to your ministry or to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Like Moses, perhaps you had a very good start. Your first session as a CG leader perhaps was a rocking success. Many came, they attended CG, and even praised you for being a good leader. Maybe some of them even wrote you little cards during church camp to tell you they are so glad to have, God has placed you in their life. But after some time, the same people that you were called to minister stop attending CG. And they tell you that they are busy and they appear less and less. Some even stop coming altogether. Especially during this season where the church is not able to meet physically. Or is your struggle with another fellow Christian when they accuse you of something that you did with the right intentions and in obedience to the Lord? Instead of being encouraging, you were given a very snarky remark that has left a very painful scar. Sometimes it's the very people that you came to serve alongside that discourages you the most. Instead of being bitter about it, is there any way you can consider praying for them and giving thanks to God for such a person that He has placed in your life? Well, like him or her, God is equally interested in transforming you as well, transforming you to become more like Him. These people are ultimately answerable to God, and God will work in this person in His good time and in His good way. But let us now consider Moses' final point about how he doubted God and himself in amidst the entire ordeal. I think Moses had already painted a very realistic picture for us about how we often look to God and blame Him when things do not turn out the way we had hoped. The most common question that was raised during the recent Alpha from our guests and even the discussions we are having with the youths at our after-sermon discussion is this: why would a good God allow bad things to happen, especially to good people? In one of my favorite quotes that I recently read, the quote goes like this: sometimes I would like to ask God, why does He allow poverty, suffering, and injustice when He could do something about it? But I'm afraid He might ask me the same thing. God is not pleased with suffering. He is not happy that poverty and injustice is happening. That's why He sent Moses. God is in the business of elevating people from poverty, suffering, and injustice sin brings. And that's why He sent His Son to be the true Moses to free us from our bondage and to eventually bring an end to the reign of sin and death. If you read the scriptures, both the Old and the New Testament, God's heart is always for the poor, the needy, and the outcast. It was never His intention to create a world to be impoverished and in lack. He is not pleased with suffering. That's why He sent Moses when he heard the cries of the Israelites and seen the afflictions of the taskmaster. For us, He sent His Son Jesus to save the world that is crying out for a Savior. And that same God now calls us, His church, to be His agents and sends us to deal with suffering, poverty, and injustice. We are to be part of God's solution in dealing with this broken world. And when we deal with this suffering, know that we can rely on God and hope in a God that will not disappoint. According to Philip Yancey, in his famous book, Where is God When It Hurts?, he posits that God is in us, not in the things that hurt us, helping to transform bad into good. We can safely say that God brings good out of evil, but we cannot say that God brings about the evil in hopes of producing good. End quote. Just as God gave Moses the powerful imagery of the burning bush to remind him of His presence with him, we can be certain that as long as we are his people, his desire is to save us from whatever trouble we are facing. The Latin phrase nectamen consumabatur means yet it was not consumed. It is the symbol and phrase in which most Presbyterian churches all around the world choose to use to remind them of a God that is with his church, even in the most difficult of times. So let us not reject, let not the rejection of our pharaohs and the discouragement of our fellow Israelites, or even our doubts of God and ourselves, blind us from the sobering fact that God is with us. Let us pray. O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Moses, the God who sees and hears the suffering of your people, nothing goes unseen before you. We thank you for this part of Scripture that paints a very realistic picture of the world that we are living in, a world that opposes you, a world that is accusative and in distraught. But that's why you are a God who sends. A God who sent Moses, who sent Jesus Christ, and now sends us to mend this broken world. In our difficulties and our moments of being hard-pressed, may we know that we may be burnt, but we will never be consumed. You did not cause evil upon us, but gave us the hope to trust you, that you can bring good out of evil. May we, your people, heed your word this morning in the name of the mighty God who hears our cry. In Jesus' name, Amen.